Module 2, Lesson 1, Spontaneous and Creative Visualization. Okay, now, when I work with people, invariably about 25% of people say, oh, I can't visualize. In truth, there is a medical condition where about 1% of people literally can't visualize. The other 24%, I believe, don't understand the mechanics of visualizing. And so, whoops, I've just got a tear. So they often will say, and this might be you, oh, I feel rather than I see. And that's okay. But I want to talk to you about how you can help somebody visualize, or how you can understand how you can visualize. So here's a little exercise that I always share with people who say they can't visualize. So imagine you're sitting in the lounge room and you need to write down all the elements of your bedroom, but the door's shut. So I'll get you to do this now. So write down all the elements, so pause the video, write down all the elements of your bedroom, and that could be that you have a chest of drawers, that you have a bed, that you have a walk-in robe, that you maybe have an ensuite, that maybe you have a balcony, maybe you have a pot plant, maybe your bedspread or duna cover has a rainbow on it, or flowers, or geometric patterns. Whatever is in your bedroom, write that down. So I'll get you to do that now. Pause the video. Okay, have you written all that down? Now, my question is, how did you know all of that? My bet is that you say, well, I just know, or I could see an image of it in my mind's eye, or I just remembered. That's the key. Remembering is the key to visualizing. Whenever I do visualization, I'm drawing on that faculty of memory. So first of all, I remember something that I've seen, and then that opens the door to visualization. And then I start either doing creative visualization, which I'll talk about, or spontaneous visualization. So when you remember, you might remember in movies, you might remember in still snapshots, or you might remember by feeling. All of those are okay. That's your way of remembering. So then what can happen is we can change our memories. We can add things in. And that's called creative visualization, which I'll talk about in a moment. And the other thing is that we might be watching a memory, something spontaneous pops up. So excuse me, it pops up without you mindfully or consciously doing that. And often with spontaneous visualization, it's a memory that we haven't seen before. So let's do this little exercise. This is because this is something that you absolutely probably haven't done before. Imagine that you are inside the center of a shell. So how do you do that? It's not something you've experienced before. So just close your eyes and imagine what that's like. You've seen the inside of a shell, but you actually haven't been inside it. So what pops up? Does that smooth, beautiful, pearly color pop up? Are there lines? Just allow yourself to imagine what it feels like and what it looks like to be inside the center of an enormous shell. That's spontaneous visualization, what you've done right now. So what's creative visualization? Creative visualization is when you consciously add something or actively manipulate or deliberately invent contents to go into your vision. And this can be when meditating, pondering, or even when you're helping somebody with healing. Okay? So you can actually deliberately create something. And you can transform your vision like an artist. So let's see here. So let's say you're visualizing a square. You know what a square is, and something mysteriously pops up in that square. So we have a teardrop pops up into that square. So it might look just like that, but we want to add something to that teardrop, and we might want to put a little glisten of light. So we want to see the light shining into there. So the teardrop, so the square could be your memory. The teardrop is the spontaneous thing that popped into there, and the creative element is that's supposed to represent sunlight. So that's light glistening off there. So they're the three stages that you can use with visualization. And so like an artist, I could actually put lots of little sparkles on there. I'm actively creating sparkles on my teardrop as the artist. So here's what I want you to do. Remember the shell that you went inside of. I want you to go back into the shell, and now I want you to put a bench in the center of the shell. That bench was not there before. So imagine putting a beautiful bench inside the center of the shell and sit on it. And actually feel yourself sit on that bench. And what you can do is ask your guide to come into the visualization. This part is creative as well. But when your guide arrives spontaneously, you may have never seen this guide before. That's the spontaneous element. That's the little sparkles of light that I've just illustrated there. If you know what your guide looks like and they pop in, then that would be creative visualization, because you know what your guide looks like, you've asked them to arrive, and you have that knowing. So if someone arrives that you've never seen before, that's spontaneous. If someone arrives that you have seen before and you've asked them to come, that's creative. I hope you get the difference in that. If you don't understand this, write below and I'll see if I can explain it in a simpler form or in a better way. So let's move on. Okay, now I'm going to read something here. In my work as a medical intuitive and as an Arakira facilitator, I've discovered that the body responds to images, and that's why I'm so keen for you to understand the visualizing aspect of Arakira. I'm just going to read this to you, so I'll try to look at the camera as well. I stumbled upon this, and I don't know where I found it, which, hang on, Love's Executioner by Irvine Yalom. So this is what he says. The mind thinks in images, but to communicate with another, must transform the image into thought and then into language. That march from image to thought to language is treacherous. Casualties occur. The rich, fleecy texture of image, its extraordinary plasticity and flexibility, its private, nostalgic, emotional hues are all lost when image is crammed into language. Great artists attempt to communicate image directly through suggestion, through metaphor, through linguistic feats, intended to evoke some similar image in the reader, but ultimately they realize the inadequacy of the tools for the task. A third barrier to the full knowing of another lies not in the one who shares, but in the other, the knower, who must reverse the sharer's sequence and translate language back to thought, back to image, the script that the mind can read. It is wildly improbable that the receiver's image will match the sender's original mental image. Isn't that amazing? When I read that, it just made so much sense for me. And so that's why I've worked on being able to transmit images to others. So that's the telepathic work that I've worked on. And we can receive those images directly, almost like it beams into our mind and we're seeing that movie playing out. So, okay, let's see what's happened here. So my belief, and I've been doing this work for 32 years, to transform the body, we must show it how through visualization. Words in your head won't change the energy in your body. So if you are a proponent of affirmations, if you just wrote those affirmations, let's say, everything I want and need comes to me easily and effortlessly. I've just wrote that. That's what that means. I've just spoken it. I haven't put any feeling to it. I haven't put any imagery to it. If you can connect your heart and image to your words, then yes, you can create a change in your body. Let's say you have a sore throat and you say, oh, please God, I don't want a sore throat anymore. That's not enough. Imagine the red sore throat is actually going nice light pink. So you're putting the words with the image. It's the image the body responds to. And I've proven that over the last 30 odd years. So images in your mind's eye can change the way your whole body feels. And it can change in minutes, in seconds. It's remarkable. So John Lennon says, you may say I'm a dreamer. This is a really good thing. Be a dreamer. A dreamer. Daydreaming is so important for how your body responds to the stressors that we're under on a day-to-day basis. Dreaming and visualizing is food for your soul. It will transform your physical, mental, emotional, spiritual bodies. So if you're not dreaming, if you're not visualizing, please start today. Gift yourself 5 minutes of visualizing, of dreaming, and see the movie unfold. Now, when I started 32 years ago, I didn't know how to do this. I just started asking for these daydreams to start happening. So that's, and I've just written here, use visualization every day. 15 minutes is good. 30 to 60 minutes is ideal. 5 minutes if you're time poor. You are allowed to go and sit in the bathroom for 5 minutes regularly throughout the day. When you're sitting in the bathroom, gift yourself that 5 minutes and do some visualizing. It really will make a big difference. It's amazing. Okay. So 15 minutes each day will make you feel happier, more joyful, and you will cope better with the rhythm of life. So we know that the rhythm of life is like this. Through visualizing, you will transform the stress in your body and you will cope with these troughs down here. It's quite remarkable. So I encourage you to start doing that today. And do it every day. And if you need to, put it into your phone or whatever diary that you use, put it into your phone calendar, do some visualizing. It doesn't need to have a purpose right now. Just start it. Okay. That is this session on creative and spontaneous visualization. See you in the next one.